From the crate, thanks to your friendly neighborhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hey Troy. Good morning. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Hello.
Take your seat. Come on in.
I'm here.
It's no dress code Thursday.
Why? What have I done?
No, I'm saying in general, just no dress code Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Just found ourselves with a nice, comfortable show with lots of music in it today.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, not a lot of the usual talking shit and making stuff up, and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Oh, no, I've come along to ruin it all.
Yeah. Hi, caller.
Jordan Mikey.
Hi, Shane. What can we do for you before we start off from the crate?
Yes, sorry about that, but I was just thinking, you know, thank you, man, you know, because I was thinking exactly the same thing as you, and then Mr. Slack explained it, the reason why, you know, is that by... If you go and strike under National, you don't get nothing, so you strike under Labour. Because I was thinking that, why the fuck would people want to go and strike now when we've got a new government, make them look bad? But the reasoning is good.
The reasoning is sound for Mr. Slack. Thank you very much, Shane. Have a wonderful day, my good friend.
And you as well. Thank you.
Shane's referring to our political commentary earlier on in the show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so are you ready for the music?
Yes. Now, massive amounts came in this week, and it was almost too much to choose.
Wow.
So what I did...
Like a professional Navy SEAL team or the elite of the elite, SAS, Army squadron.
Yep.
I can imagine that the team up there from the Southbound Records, there would be a protocol, wouldn't there? You would lock into a different mode when big orders come in like that.
That is true. Yeah. And
people staying the night, I'm sure, that sort of thing. You know.
There's plenty of times we don't go home. Yeah. But that's also because you've got records all around. You think, I better check this out.
Welcome to my world. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep.
So what I did is that there's a thematic. There's a theme which runs through all the records I've chosen. One is that the albums were all recorded in one session on one day, and the other theme is that these are the three I bought on Tuesday. So, if that makes it any easier.
Hold on, start again. The albums were all...
They were all made from records that were made, recorded in one session, one day. That's it.
Straight off the bat?
Straight off.
Fresh. Just one go. And Mark gets it, go, don't blow it.
Like that.
Don't blow it. I mean, blow your horn or whatever, but just dining with your blow. Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah blown in the old what? Okay, all right. So, I'm imagining for them to be on vinyl.
Yes, and they are.
To come into you during the big delivery and making it to the top three to bring down to us from the crate.
Yeah.
We must be talking elite musicians. We must be talking monumentous historical sessions.
We are.
We must be lost recordings.
Yes, there's a couple of lost recordings, and one of the monumental musicians. So let's start with the one on turntable two on the right hand side.
I left the turntable one going there, like some sort of sack. Sorry about that.
Now this one here. While we're not playing the album itself, we're playing from a compilation which came out in February, sold out immediately. They've just repressed it. It's called J-Jazz, Deep Modern Jazz from Japan, 1969 to 84.
Once again, that title again, please.
It is J-Jazz, Deep Modern Jazz from Japan, 1969 to 84.
Great intro.
Quite a hefty cover there.
Yes, well, you've got three records in here, triple album sets, and what we're hearing is something which wasn't so much lost, is only kind of released in the first place. Toru Azawa Quartet. Now, this was a band who were from north of Tokyo, and a gentleman by the name of Mr. Tachibana. Mr. Tachibana was an extremely rich man, and he liked this band. So he goes, you know what? In my manor house, I have a hall where I sometimes invite famous people to come in and, okay, come and perform for me. But
In my manor house, I have a hall. Not into the main room, but you can the hall.
In the hall.
Just come and visit my hall.
And what we should do is we'll record an album there, and then I can use this album as a business card for myself. Mr. Tachibana. And there it is. That's what it looked like there, Mike. That thing there. So the Toru Azawa Quartet, who weren't professional musicians, they were all at university, Said, okay, we'll do it. And I don't know how many Mr. Tachibana pressed up, but it became one of the most sought-after rare records of the 70s in Japan. 1975?
1975. Now, you got a great
story. You got to say, you've got to also wonder, oh, so these guys went on to be gigantic stars in Japan. Well, Toru Ozawa himself became a very renowned doctor. He's still practicing now.
Ah, right.
He was at med school.
A doctor of music?
A doctor of medicine.
Oh, right.
The other guys were studying law. They were. But this record here is just astonishing.
So this is a one track on a compilation.
This is one track on a compilation which is full of absolutely mind-blowing material. Just amazing stuff. Most of it was either on private press records or very, very limited runs.
Who is the big game hunter that managed to track all these down and compile them?
These are two gentlemen from Britain called Tony Higgins and Mike Payden.
The old Higgins Payden.
Yeah,
team.
Higgins and Payden again. And they've been collecting these Japanese jazz records, or J-Jazz, as it's known
J-Jazz,
in Japan,
J-Jazz, yeah.
For a long time. But you can see the care and attention which has gone into this compilation, not just with this fantastic packaging with an obi strip. Remember, we've talked about obi strips?
I thought maybe they'd lost a bit of they'd gone out of fashion a wee bit.
Not in Japan, they have.
No. The obi strip is very popular in Japan. So you run the obi strip even here when you sell them on the shelves here,
yep,
in Aotearoa.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And also there is like as much information packed into here as possible about all of these rare records.
It's a very small font there.
It is quite a small font. And if you buy the CD one, you get it in Japanese as well, if that's the way you want to read it. It's not the way I want to read it because...
Can't read Japanese.
No, kanji is difficult. But anyway, yeah. Toru Ozawa Quartet. The tune is called Dead Letter. What do you think?
Nice.
I love that. I love that intro to it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
And remember, this is in Mr. Tachibana's hall.
Just in the hall?
Well,
Did he have different sounds of different parts of the house?
Maybe he did. He had some really good reverb in this hall, though, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was
because hard to have a conversation. I imagine if they're really cracking into it, you'd be like, "Hi, hey, this is a nice house. Where should I put my? Is there somewhere I can put my? Is there somewhere I can put my jacket? My jacket. Yeah. No thanks. No thank you." Oh, it's my girlfriend! Sorry, this is my girlfriend! Yeah!
I think you gave Troy a fright there.
You did. But like I said, this came out in February, went out of print just about straight away. Was just unavailable to everyone. They've repressed it now. We got them on the shelves.
Listen to that, 1975. What's going on back then, eh?
It sounds like... it doesn't sound like 1975 to me, but I wasn't at...
I was only five, man. Dressed up like some stupid little goon in a corduroy sort of jumpsuit thing with probably some little doggy dungarees and just, you know.
I saw you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Japan, someone's hall, this maelstrom of creativity was... erupting.
Weirdly enough, this is the third Japanese jazz release we've had on From the Crate in the last 6 months.
Flexing its jazz muscles.
Yeah.
All right. Very nice, Troy.
Right. The next one we have is from a lost album. This one was recorded on, I think it was March the 6th, 1963.
You think it was?
Well, I know it was March.
Oh, that's a nice cover.
Isn't it?
It is very lush.
There you go, Tess. Tell me what you see.
It's got like a nice embossed font on the front.
Yeah, you like a quality cover, don't you, Tess?
I do.
You'll notice it's die cut as well.
Some cutaways there, though.
Oh, and it's got all sorts of geometric shapes.
You know what?
On
not the sort of thing
you don't want that to fall in the wrong hands. People go, what? Boy, just pull out of here. Oh, it's just a scratch and sniff. What the? Oh.
Oh, what, can I peel this off?
I think your T-shirt, Tess, is pretty, that's pretty J-Jazz.
It's pretty full on.
Yeah, it's a...
JJ's goats.
It's got some goats on it.
Six different one of those goats is getting rooted by a gimp.
No, he's not. Oh.
Second goat down on the right.
Oh, you're right, he is.
Yeah.
I was looking at the surfing one on the tidal wave. Anyway,
yeah,
19...
Sorry, here we go. Yeah.
March 1963, in the midst of a fortnight of shows at the Birdland Club in New York, the John Coltrane Quartet went into Rudy Van Gelder's studio in New Jersey and laid down... not just this one. I was going to count how many. A whole bunch of albums worth of songs in a day.
Oh.
The following day, they went back and recorded an entire album with Johnny Hartman singing. That one got released. This one here was overlooked. And why was it lost? Well, Impulse Records, in all of their wisdom in the early 70s at the time, decided, oh, it costs so much to store all this stuff. All of these outtakes, let's just throw them out. Luckily, Coltrane's ex-wife had a reference tape. Coltrane was in the habit of taking a reference, like a
cassette.
Seven-inch reels. Yeah. Well, five-inch.
Two-inch, isn't it? Five-inch, four-inch, seven, five.
It's
three,
huge.
Two. Big tape.
Big tape. Yeah. Mono reference home, and her family decided to put it up for auction in the mid-2000s. Uh-huh. Impulse Records bought it back. And finally now, his son Ravi Coltrane has assembled an album out of it. Now, is the stuff we know on it? Yes, he did impressions a few other times. One Up, One Down, there's another tune called that which we know, but the this version, I think there's the Birdland bootleg has it. But there is also tunes, untitled original tunes, that are only known by their studio reference number that have never been heard prior to now. Shall we hear one of them?
You can hear that studio chit chat at the beginning of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That'd be producer Bob Feely. So, straight away, we hear Coltrane is on the soprano sax.
Hogging it. Yep.
But it's the quartet that people think of as his classic quartet, with McCoy Tyner on piano, Jimmy Garrison on bass, Elvin Jones on drums.
So this is the mono off the mono reference tape?
Correct, yeah.
Wow, how crazy.
So it's released in a bunch of versions. You can buy a single LP version of what Ravi conceives as would have been the album. You can buy what we have here, which is the double version with all of the takes from everything from the session, all of the complete takes, and it's available in both of those versions on CD. Now, this one has caused a storm up at Southbound Records. So, in the time it took for me to decide we were playing this, and now, we've run out of our first shipment of them.
Jesus.
We still have a couple on CD.
Salivating rabid record zombies. banging on the windows. That's what I mean. I can imagine you guys going to, like, you know, it's lockdown, eh?
Like
just about.
Purge.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is...
Yes.
I was really happy that so many people wanted this because...
Oh, share the love. I'm with you, Troy. Share that love.
Well, and the other reason...
Chuck it everywhere.
...is that what we know about John Coltrane is that he totally wanted to be a force for good in the world. He believed that...
Like Santa.
He believed that... different kinds of music can rewire your brain into living a better, more fulfilling life and being and universal nice.
So was he talking about straight edge and
well, yes, in 1957
grime.
1957 Coltrane said he
death
underwent
metal.
A spirit
death,
probably not death or black metal.
That's the funniest of metal, eh?
Black metal.
Oh, look how black they are. Look how scary and Norwegian and stuff.
I'll tell you something about off air about some black metal. Anyway,
I don't mean to knock Norwegians.
Coltrane. Coltrane was.
Who's tinkling those ivories, Troy?
That would be Mr. McCoy Tyner.
It's just dancing around too. Suppose when you're in the middle of 2 weeks of gigs.
Yep.
Limber Fingers.
So I looked up what other sessions happened at Van Gelder's studio this week. It was quite astonishing. McCoy Tyner did a solo album on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
on the Monday.
Lucky they had a few gaps in the schedule, eh? Lucky they had the studios open.
Yeah. There was everything except for this recorded that week was released to great Jimmy Garrison. Doesn't usually play
that?
Arco.
What is that?
That's
like a big stand-up bass with a bow. With a bow.
Yep.
Sounds like a voice weight trying to escape, doesn't it? What's he trying to say? What is it, boy? Stop talking over the music. Oh, okay, yes. Well, they give him a bit of time, don't they?
Yeah, everyone gets a bit of time.
What I love about jazz, how it kicks back in. Yeah. Jazz always reminds me of Top Cat cartoon.
Good reason for that. So, is this lost album good? No, it's not good. It is great.
Well, obviously, everybody in the world wants it.
Amazing.
What's it called, The Lost Album?
It's called Both Directions at Once, The Lost Album. The title comes from Coltrane said to Wayne Shorter, Miles' saxophonist, said to him about his solo, he said, well, I kind of start in the middle of the sentence and go both directions at once.
Oh, fair enough, too. Ambidextrous languaging, but with a saxophone. Hey, has this not been released before at all?
One song turned up on a compilation in 1965.
Doesn't count as an album that's not been released before?
No, nothing, the
people
nothing
like,
else.
No, hungry, ever hungry hippos, come on.
Lovely, all right, what else we got, Troy?
Now, the next thing we got is also from, we want one called Togo or Togo. The next thing we got was also recorded in one session, and this session took place in February of last year at Abbey Road Studios in London. And this group, the main musician of this group is a fellow called Tendelonious. Now, Tendelonious, some of you might remember his band Ruby Rushton put out two albums last year. Tendelonious also has appeared on other people's records, and he is a producer as well. What happened with Abbey Road? The guy, a guy he knows that worked at Abbey Road, gave him 2 days' notice, said, hey, look, we got a session free, 7 hours. Do you want to
get your shit together?
Do you want to do something? Yeah. And he goes, right. Ruby Rushton and his band weren't available, so he got together a bunch of his friends, which he has dubbed the 22 Orchestra. His record label is called 22A.
When was this?
February last year.
Oh, okay. Here they are. Look at a big bunch of young hip characters, aren't they?
Yep.
Hamish, Reggie, Yusuf, Fergus, Jean, and Conrad.
Now, Yusuf, of course, Yusuf Days, who you'll remember from the Yusuf Kamal record that came out 2 years ago now?
No, but yep, okay.
Okay, all right. Well, you've heard Yusuf Days play before. He's played with Shabaka, possibly on something we brought in earlier this year.
The 22 Orchestra.
Yep.
The shakedown is the result of a man at the top of his game. I would say peak of his powers. But when you know this man, you understand there can be no peak. You get a full story with it, don't you?
You do.
By the time March 2017 came round, the UK jazz climate had changed somewhat.
Now, Tendelonious came from originally as a kid, he was
Ed rented the sax for 3 months and got straight into it, spending hours upon hours each day teaching himself to play. And the days before he was due to return the sax, he received the breaker's hard work deserved, a tax rebate of £700, the exact price of the sax. He marched straight down to the town, cashed his cheque, and onto the music shop. The shop attendant was amazed. I thought you were going to bring this back and give up. He clearly didn't know Ed. He doesn't have that in his locker. What the fuck is this all about?
It's about Tendelonious.
It's a story. Yeah, but it's a good. I mean, it's one of 15 paragraphs?
Yep, written by a friend of Ed's. Even saying about the bad trouble they got into that resulted in a little bit of home detention time.
You saw us were angels at this time, and trouble seemed to follow us around. Part-time jobs weren't paying enough, and sorting out a few smokes for people was far easier than working an 8-hour shift at the department store. Staying outside of Her Majesty's law became somewhat of a problem.
Musically, things have moved on again. Ebba's now making grime with the crew of MCs in North London. The style of sound Ebba's running was so individual, some of the crew was rolling with it, picked up and announced Ebba Beats.
Tendelonious, The Shakedown, featuring the 22 Orchestra, brand new album on 22A, which is Ed's label.
Here he is. Is he making the most of his Abbey Road sesh?
Well, let's hear what he's doing.
Sounds like a bunch of clocks all climbing out of a car.
It's because you have three percussionists as well as Yusuf on drums.
Are you sure there's no clocks climbing out of cars?
Oh yeah, there it is over there.
Okay, so Tendelonious plays flute, which is...
Stop moving, you clocks! People know you're alive! Sorry. There's the flute. There it is. Someone sent me a photo yesterday on Twitter. Well, no one sent it to me at all. I just came across it. And it's of a flautist having brain surgery, but because they're careful, they don't want it. So to make sure that they're not getting the wrong part of the brain, she's playing the flute whilst she's having brain surgery.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Anyway, back to what you're saying, Troy. Tell me more about this sesh.
Well, as you can hear.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful recording, isn't it?
Abbey Road, Studio 2. So what are you hearing apart from clocks? You're hearing a little bit of Afrobeat in there?
I tried to shut the image of clocks climbing out of cars out of my head. I'm liking that boop, 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 boop. I love that little soft little keyboard there too, that little cheeky little soft little...
The Fender Rhodes?
Yeah. Nothing sharp about a Fender Rhodes, nothing sharp at all.
Nope. Now, I know you're supposed to, there's supposed to be something funny about flutes, but I didn't see whatever movie that's from, so sorry.
You could probably just look up flute fails.
So, how is this album released? This album is released in a really excellent double LP format.
This is what they call sophisticated. This is sophisticated jazz, eh?
I don't know. Does sound class though, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's very classy.
Tess, what do you think?
It's nice. It's really
loving
smooth,
the boop.
Very nice.
Really loving the boop.
What happens if we turn it up?
Here we go. Oh, hello. Suddenly gets a little bit racier, doesn't it? What's that?
Synthesizer.
Some sort of aliens come in? Thing they use at Close Encounters to talk to the aliens with. Love that noise, eh? Love it. It's a real good old Casio keyboard sound, that one.
Who would have thought this is where Deep House and Broken Beat leads us in 2018?
Yeah, good job too. Tidy. That undulating and sweating well worth its while in the end, isn't it? Very nice, that's very nice. So that's the 22 Orchestra.
Yep, Tendelonious, The Shakedown featuring...
Tendelonious.
And I wanted
you to do my man Tendelonious.
I don't know why he's called that, but there you go. The Shakedown...
You call him Tender or Ten or...
His friend in the gatefold, we're just calling him Ed.
Yeah. All right, Troy, well, that's lovely. That's three good records. One of them very sought after, and the Hungry Hippos will have to wait till the next dump of records for that.
Yep, you care for the John Coltrane.
Let's be honest, there is one in your hand right now.
No, but I've already bought
that one. Okay.
You can put your name down, do pre-orders. We're taking pre-orders for the next round of the Coltrane.
Right, that's the spirit. How old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, take a pre-order, wait for the import to come in. And so they're all up at From the Crate now. Any of them on CD?
Yes. Coltrane is actually available on CD up there.
How about that?
At Southbound Records, yep.
Marvellous. Thank you very much, Troy. Lovely to see you. See you again this time next week.
Thank you so much.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.